All right, everyone, welcome back to Cinebus. This is another episode for our book club segment. We are on chapter 2 of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. My name is Alex.
And I'm Danny. So yes, we are continuing off from chapter 2 of the Sorcerer's Stone. This is kind of a blind reading for me. Alex is recapping each chapter one by one, and I am reacting to it. Last chapter, Dumbledore drops off baby Harry Potter on their front doorstep.
All right. So we are on to chapter 2. It's called The Vanishing Glass.
The Vanishing Glass. Okay.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen?
I guess maybe some sort of magic mirror is going to happen, but I'm not sure, considering that we're still very early into Harry Potter's life. I'm really curious. Let's dive into it.
So you see glass and you think mirror?
Yes.
Fair. Sure. All right, let's get started. First sentence of this chapter 2. Nearly 10 years had passed since the Dursleys had woken up to find their nephew on the front step, but Privet Drive had hardly changed at all.
Interesting time jump.
Yes, 10 years later.
Huh. So he's 10 now, Harry Potter.
So he is, like, I want to say...
Or 11?
Yeah, I want to say almost one when he, in the first chapter. And you're aware of the acceptance letter, so kids usually get their acceptance letter to Hogwarts when they're 11 years old.
Oh, okay, so pretty young. Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So Harry is 10 years old now. He was maybe, like, between 6 months to a year old during the first chapter. So he is less than a year old when his parents die.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 10 years later, we are at Privet Drive, looking into the Dursleys' house. We have photographs on a mantelpiece that are apparently the only thing showing us that time has passed. It says that 10 years ago, there were a bunch of pictures that looked like large pink beach balls wearing different colored bonnets. Which is just such an... Do you ever look at pictures? Okay, yes. First of all, yes. I am going to love going through this with you because I am starting to notice just the wonderfully odd phrases that are used. So, there were a bunch of pictures of the baby 10 years ago, but now there are pictures of a 10-year-old boy. Riding a bike, on a carousel at the fair, playing computer games, being hugged and kissed by his mom. There are no pictures at all of any other children in the house, even though there is another child living under the stairs.
So it feels like this family is literally trying to keep Harry Potter a secret. There is no evidence of him, and they literally keep him under the stairs.
The Dursleys have a very strong hatred for magic and magic people, so that's like their primary issue with him, it would seem. Remember that Dumbledore did leave them that letter, so what do you... I don't think I actually asked you this last time. What do you think was in that letter?
I have an inkling that they never read that letter.
So Harry Potter, 10 years old, in the cupboard under the stairs. He's asleep, but not for long. Aunt Petunia is at the door. Sorry.
He sleeps in a cupboard under the stairs.
He lives in this cupboard, and it would seem that he has for 10 years, which, as we said during our last episode, means that they put a baby in a cupboard. Okay, so Harry's asleep, but Aunt Petunia's at the door. She doesn't care. She starts screaming at him to get up, and she's knocking at the door very, very hard and loud, and Harry wakes up and tries to remember the dream that he was having, which is just slipping away, as dreams do. He was dreaming about a flying motorcycle, and he thinks that he has dreamt about it before. His aunt comes back. What? Oh, yes.
Flying motorcycle.
Hey.
That's you, Hagrid. Hey.
Harry is being woken up by screaming because his aunt wants him to look after the bacon.
Huh? Bacon on the stove?
All right.
Anyways,
so,
Alex, why is Petunia why can't she finish the bacon? Why?
That's my question. That's a good question. Let's see if we even get an answer to that. So Harry starts to get up because he doesn't want Petunia to keep yelling at him. He puts on his socks after picking a spider off of them, which, I mean, I gotta give him props for that. He's 10 years old and he's very casually picking spiders off of clothing. I mean, I have to admit, I'm not sure I could casually pick a spider off of clothing now. I mean, I would maybe, like, flick it off or something. I wouldn't, like, pulling a spider off of one of his socks. Like, the image that that gives me is that he just, you know,
the way he's just sort of scooped it up. About it, like, oh.
Yeah, just boop.
Yep, boop.
Okay, Harry, sure. I feel like, you know, introduction to Harry. Of course, yes. Yeah, because he's 10 years old and picking spiders off of his clothing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he says, the book says, Harry was used to spiders because the cupboard under the stairs was full of them, and that was where he slept. So, he goes to the kitchen to look after the bacon, because apparently he's the only one who can make the bacon in this house. So he walks into the kitchen, and it says that the table was almost hidden beneath all of Dudley's birthday presents. It looked as though Dudley had gotten the new computer he wanted, not to mention the second television and the racing bike.
Second television?
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But then we get another fun little characteristic about Dudley, is that he likes to punch people, and his favorite punching bag is Harry. And the only good news there is that he can't often catch him, because Harry is very fast.
Gotcha.
So, silver lining, I guess? Did I use that phrase right? I don't think I did.
Maybe, in this context. Yeah, obviously, Harry and Dudley, yeah. I think they're just gonna have, obviously, a very tenuous relationship to each other. Obviously, Dudley's very spoiled and not really disciplined. And then, of course, Harry is always getting the short end of the stick, so I would not be surprised if Harry has resentment towards Dudley because of all this.
So then we get a description of Harry. It says, perhaps it had something to do with living in a dark cupboard, but Harry had always been small and skinny for his age. So Harry has a thin face, knobbly knees, black hair, and bright green eyes, as well as round glasses that are held together with a lot of scotch tape because of all the times that Dudley had punched him in the nose.
I think Dudley needs some help.
Dudley is 10.
Yeah. Why is he punching people?
A lot, apparently.
And getting away with it? Yeah.
So essentially, you know, she's doing everything she can to show us very early on that Vernon and Petunia are bad to the point that they don't care about this young child being continuously punched in their care by the other child in their care.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing Harry liked about his own appearance was a very thin scar on his forehead that was shaped like a bolt of lightning. He had had it as long as he could remember, and the first question he could ever remember asking his Aunt Petunia was how he had gotten it. She tells Harry that he got the scar in the car crash when his parents died.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Boy.
Okay, so my little theory earlier. I'm going with A, they did not read that letter, or B, they did, but absolutely refused to believe it. Because they hate magic that much. So they're just going to lie to this poor child, no matter what.
Well, is it that you think that they refuse to believe it, or that they're just, they believe what it said, but they're choosing to ignore it because they hate magic so much? So basically, this kid is in this house, and he's not allowed to ask anything. Not only does he not know any details about how his parents died, but he also doesn't even know the truth about the circumstances in which his parents died. So just, this child is a little in the dark about some things. Whether he knows how much? Well, actually, no, he definitely does not know how much at this point. So, Harry's looking after the bacon, and Uncle Vernon comes into the room and yells at him to comb his hair. Because apparently, Harry has hair that is so chaotic that it just grows all over the place and very quickly and can't be like combed down easily, so Uncle Vernon makes him get a haircut at least once a week, but it doesn't make any difference at all. So Uncle Vernon yells at Harry as well, so you know it's early in the morning and he's already been yelled at by both his uncle and his aunt.
Oh my god.
So Harry is frying eggs now. That's rough, buddy. Yeah. Harry's frying eggs now. We're on to eggs now. And then.
Okay, so apparently he's their personal chef.
Yes, apparently. And then Dudley comes into the kitchen with his mom, and we learn that looks a lot like Uncle Vernon, with a large pink face, not much neck, small watery blue eyes, and thick blonde hair that lay smoothly on his thick fat head. Aunt Petunia often said that Dudley looked like a baby angel. Harry often said that Dudley looked like a pig in a wig. Harry is making breakfast, and Dudley comes to get the food because he doesn't have anything else that he is doing this morning because he is not the personal chef. So Dudley starts counting his birthday presents on the table and looks at his mom and dad, and he's like, 36? That's 2 less than last year.
36 presents?
It's 2 less than last year, Danny.
I'm speechless. I'm literally speechless.
I was wondering.
Boy, what? Continue before my brain explodes, Alex. Oh my god. Oh my god. This boy.
Yep. So he's complaining to his parents that he only has 36, 2 less than last year. And his mom's like, no, you forgot one. You know, there's one under this big one from mom and dad. Okay, 37, Dudley says. And Harry's like, and it says that Harry can see a huge Dudley tantrum coming on. So, you know, we've gotten to the point where there are warning signs that Harry is very aware of in terms of this being a common occurrence.
Mm.
Yes. And Aunt Petunia also has experience with this. So she tells Dudley that when they're out today, they'll buy him another 2 presents.
You gotta teach your kid that, you know, they can't always get what they want.
All right, so Dudley is pacified by the addition of 2 presents when they go out. So he sits down to breakfast, and Uncle Vernon laughs and thinks that this is funny, and that Dudley just wants his money's worth like his father. Attaboy, Dudley, he says.
Continue, just continue. Continue.
So, the telephone rings, and Aunt Petunia goes to answer it while Harry and Uncle Vernon watch Dudley unwrap presents. Aunt Petunia comes back off of the phone, looking angry and worried, and tells Vernon, bad news, Mrs. Fig's broken her leg, she can't take him, and points to Harry.
They can't even let poor Harry join them today. No, he's gotta be taken somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So we explain that every year on Dudley's birthday, his parents take him out with a friend for the day to adventure parks, restaurants, the movies, you know, fun stuff. And Harry gets left behind with Mrs. Fig, who is described as a mad old lady who lived 2 streets away. Harry hated it there. The whole house smelled of cabbage, and Mrs. Fig made him look at photographs of all the cats that she'd ever owned. So Petunia tells Vernon that Mrs. Fig broke her leg and can't take Harry today. And Harry gets excited because he, you know, has a chance to not be stuck with Mrs. Fig for the first time ever. And Petunia and Vernon are really annoyed and talking about him like he's not in the room and listing like a few people that maybe he could stay with instead. One of them, Petunia says, don't be silly, Vernon. She hates the boy. In terms of Harry, speaking of Harry, and they can't think of anyone, and Harry says, you could just leave me here. He's thinking that maybe he could watch TV or go on Dudley's computer while they're gone, and Aunt Petunia looked as though she just swallowed a lemon because she thinks that he's going to destroy the house. She's like, what, come back and find the house in ruins?
Yeah, yeah. Yes,
this 10-year-old is going to destroy.
Skinny 10-year-old child. Yeah.
Wait, and then Harry says, I won't blow up Petunia. The house.
Because, you know, I'm 10.
Yeah. But they weren't listening. So Aunt Petunia's like, I suppose we could take him to the zoo and leave him in the car. And then Vernon says, the car's new. We're not leaving him in there alone. So they don't even trust leave him in the car, which, you know, is something that a lot of people wouldn't even do to a dog.
Yeah. What? Oh, my God.
Dudley starts crying.
This is insane.
And then, you know, we get that narrator side bit that says he's not really crying. It had been years since he'd really cried, but he knew that if he screwed up his face and wailed, his mother would give him anything he wanted. Which, you know, tracks.
Yep.
So she says, Dinky Duddy Dums, don't cry.
Oh my god, I almost just vomited. What? Dinky Duddy Dums?
Yes, Dudley has a lot of nicknames. Petunia's like, no, don't worry, my poor child. The small, abused, forgotten, neglected child won't spoil your birthday. And Dudley keeps on saying that Harry is going to spoil his birthday, but then the doorbell rings, and Dudley's best friend, Piers Polkiss, walks in. It says that he's a scrawny boy with a face like a rat, and that he's usually the one who holds people's arms behind their backs while Dudley hits them.
Ah, I mm-hmm. see how this friendship started.
Yes, so that's our introduction to Piers. And it says that Dudley stopped pretending to cry at once, which, yes, I'm sure. And then half an hour later, Harry, who couldn't believe his luck, was sitting in the back of the Dursleys' car with Piers and Dudley on the way to the zoo for the first time in his life.
Aw.
Right?
That's, like, a little sweet for him, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very sad.
I mean, it's very sad, but also it's like, oh, it's got, like, this little hope to it.
Harry and everyone is in the car. We're on our way to the zoo. But it says Harry's thinking about how Uncle Vernon took him aside before they got in the car and warned him not to do anything funny while they were at the zoo, or he'll be in the cupboard from now until Christmas. So Harry is thinking about this warning from Uncle Vernon and how he said that he wasn't going to do anything, but that Uncle Vernon didn't believe him and that no one ever believes him because strange things happen around him all the time. So while we're driving to the zoo, Uncle Vernon is complaining to Aunt Petunia. It says that he likes to complain about a lot of things. People at work, Harry, the council, Harry, the bank, and Harry were just a few of his favorite subjects. So he complains about Harry a lot. In front of him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. My god.
It's kind of amazing that this child has any self-esteem at all.
Yeah, literally, I'm like, I'm seeing a pattern here. It's not a good one, but there is a pattern.
So Vernon's complaining about Harry. And now he's, oh, actually, sorry, no, Vernon is not complaining about Harry this time. This time he is complaining about motorcycles. And Harry chooses to chime into this conversation because apparently he has not learned better by now, which I find surprising, that he had a dream about a motorcycle and that it was flying. And Uncle Vernon almost crashes the car and turns around in his seat
to yell
at Harry, motorcycles don't fly. And it says that his face
it's
was
a
like a
dream,
gigantic
bro.
Beet with a mustache.
Bro, it's a dream.
Right, so we're talking about how the Dursleys hate questions. They also hate the idea of anything acting in a way that it shouldn't. They seem to think that he might get dangerous ideas, is the way that it's described.
God forbid the 10-year-old child has an imagination.
Yes, how dare he. Alright, so it says that it's a very sunny Saturday, and the zoo is crowded with families. And the Dursleys are going to buy Dudley and Piers large chocolate ice creams at the entrance. And then, because the smiling lady in the van asked Harry what he wanted before they could hurry him away, they bought him a cheap lemon ice pop.
Aww.
So Harry only gets this...
Ice cream lady.
Yeah, no kidding. This random unnamed lady, ice cream person, is the MVP here. Just...
Literally.
Made this kid's day. Go, lady. Harry says that he had the best morning that he'd had in a long time.
Oh.
Yeah. Poor Harry.
This poor kid.
Yeah. So they're walking around. It says that after some time, he starts to be careful to walk a little way apart from Dudley and Piers when they start to get bored with the animals around lunchtime so that they don't fall back on their favorite hobby of hitting him. You know, in plain sight of all of these families that are enjoying the zoo on a Saturday.
Right.
Right. They have lunch in the zoo restaurant, and Dudley has a tantrum because his Knickerbocker Glory, which I guess is like an ice cream sundae, doesn't have enough ice cream on top. So Uncle Vernon buys him another one, and Harry is allowed to finish the first one.
Let's go.
Yeah, right? Like, Harry's having a good day here.
I mean... Yeah, like, listen, I know that ice cream's partially eaten, but, like, I would still take it. Ice cream is still ice cream.
Oh, yeah, ice cream's ice cream, man. I will, unless it was, like, on the floor or something, I'll eat that ice cream. And then we have the sentence, Harry felt afterward that he should have known it was all too good to last.
Aw.
Yeah. So we're in the reptile house, And Dudley and Piers want to see...
Where there's lots of... Yeah, where there's lots of glass, right?
Sure, yes. It's very cool and dark with glass windows lit up to show the lizards and snakes that are crawling and slithering around inside. Dudley and Piers want to see giant poisonous snakes, so they're looking around for the biggest one in the place, and Dudley finds one. It says that he could have wrapped its body twice around Uncle Vernon's car and crushed it into a trash can, but at the moment it didn't look in the mood. In fact, it was fast asleep. So Dudley tells his father to make the snake move, and he taps on the glass a few times, and the snake just keeps sleeping, and Dudley's like, this is boring, and he walks away. So Harry stays there, because, you know, he's just glad to be away from everyone else, which I get, Harry. And he's just kind of looking at the snake and empathizing with it, you know, because he understands boredom and being trapped in, like, a small space. I mean, you know, he's got his cupboard, and this snake has an enclosed glass space. So, you know, sort of similar. I don't know. but, you know, so...
Hey, you know, observation.
Yeah, they can... He can sort of understand the snake is what I'm saying. Or at least, you know, comes next can make a little bit of sense. Because the snake opens its eyes, stops sleeping, and it looks at Harry, and it winks at him.
Also, sorry, I just remembered something.
Yeah?
Doesn't Voldemort have a snake?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm gonna ask.
Okay.
Because I'm like, that's very interesting that the snake would look at a certain someone and purposely wink. So I'm a little curious. That's all. Just a little curious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Harry is kind of also wondering that at this moment about why the snake is winking at him, which is fair. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't even register that a snake had winked at me. I would just be like, did it blink?
Yeah, literally. Me too.
But Harry, you know, I mean, I guess he has a good imagination, even though the Dursleys keep trying to beat it out of him. So he looks back at the snake, and he winks back. And the snake jerks its head at Uncle Vernon and Dudley and raises its eyes at the ceiling, which Harry interprets as a look that means, I get that all the time. And he murmurs through the glass, I know, it must be really annoying. So Harry's now talking to this snake.
Honestly, mood.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't have anyone else to talk to, it appears. Right, so Harry's talking to this snake, and, you know, he's gonna start with some small talk, so he asks the snake where it's from. And the snake points at a sign with its tail that says, Boa Constrictor, Brazil. So this is a boa constrictor. And it would indicate that it was from Brazil, since it says Brazil. So Harry asks the snake if it was nice there, and the boa constrictor jabs its tail at the sign again, and it says that the specimen was bred in the zoo. So Harry's like, oh, okay, so you've never been to Brazil. So he's just having this, you know, nice little conversation with a snake. And then someone yells from behind him, Dudley, Mr. Dursley, come and look at this snake! You won't believe what it's doing! So Dudley comes running up, and he punches Harry out of the way, and Harry falls on the floor. And Piers and Dudley are leaning up against the glass, looking at this snake. And all of a sudden, the glass disappears. The vanishing glass.
The vanishing glass. Roll credits.
So, the snake can now escape. This ginormous boa constrictor slides out of this free tank now, and people start running and screaming, which, yeah. So, as the snake passes by Harry, Harry swears that he can hear a low hissing voice say, Brazil, here I come. Thanks, amigo. It says that the keeper of the reptile house was in shock, which, yeah, I mean, this guy. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
The zoo director himself made Aunt Petunia a cup of strong, sweet tea while he apologized over and over again. That seems trying to avoid problems.
Try not to take any risk here, yeah.
So Piers and Dudley are freaking out. Harry says that he had only seen the snake snap playfully at their heels as it passed, but Dudley was saying that it had nearly bitten off his leg, and Piers was swearing that it had tried to squeeze him to death. Yes, so.
Sure.
Of course.
Sure.
But worst of all, for Harry at least, was Piers calming down enough to say, Harry was talking to it, weren't you, Harry? Thanks, Piers.
Thanks, man. Really, really helpful information there.
Mm-hmm. So when we get home, and Piers is gone, Vernon turns to Harry and says, go. Cupboard. Stay. No meals. Before he collapsed into a chair, and Aunt Petunia had to run and get him a large brandy.
Oh my god. Yes, let's blame the 10-year-old child for the escape of a dangerous animal.
Yep. It's his fault that the snake got away and went back to Brazil.
Yep.
I mean, not back to Brazil. Went to Brazil. So later, Harry is laying in his cupboard. He doesn't know what time it is because he doesn't have a watch. He wants to wait until the Dursleys fall asleep so that he can sneak out to the kitchen for some food. So it seems like even if he's locked in there, I guess there's a way that he can sneak out. So that's good, at least, that he has a mm-hmm. little bit of a way around that. It says that he'd lived with the Dursleys for almost 10 years now, and that he couldn't really remember anything about the car where his parents died. Sometimes when he strained his memory, he could remember a blinding flash of green light and a burning pain on his forehead, which he thought would be the crash, but he couldn't imagine where all the green light came from.
Hmm.
It says that he can't remember his parents at all, and that his aunt and uncle never spoke about them, and that he couldn't ask questions, and there were no photographs of them in the house. So again, he really just does not know anything about his past, or his family, or, you know, he really does not have any support.
Thanks, Dursley. You're mm-hmm. really big help here. Thank you so much.
Yep. When he'd been younger, it says that Harry had dreamed of some unknown relation coming to take him away, but it had never happened. But it does say that he thought, or maybe sometimes hoped, that strangers on the street seemed to know him. A tiny man in a violet top hat had bowed to him once while he was out shopping with Aunt Petunia and Dudley. A wild-looking old woman dressed all in green had waved merrily at him once on a bus. And a bald man in a very long purple coat had actually shaken his hand in the street the other day and then walked away without a word.
Huh.
The weirdest thing about all these people was the way that they seemed to vanish the second that Harry tried to get a closer look.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Eyebrows, eyebrows.
Wizards, perhaps?
And at school, Harry had no one. Everybody knew that Dudley's gang hated that odd Harry Potter in his baggy old clothes and broken glasses, and nobody liked to disagree with Dudley's gang.
Phew, yeah, what a baby angel indeed, huh?
Mm-hmm. So that is the end of the chapter. It's a bit of a bummer ending right there.
Dang. I mean, hey, if that boa constrictor crushed Vernon's car, you know, that would have been the highlight. But, all right, yeah, darn. Well, poor Harry Potter. Like, I generally feel for the kid, you know? God. You know, it's just those little moments with the ice cream and then with the boa. And even with the interactions with the wizard strangers, you know, there seems to be, like, these little flickers of hope for him. And, you know, trying to hold on to that, which, you know, I'm sure, of course, will feel to be very soon his acceptance letter to Hogwarts. But yeah, what this chapter told me is that the Dursleys are terrible people, and these characters are literally driving me insane, and I feel really bad for Harry. Yeah, I just feel bad for the kid. He doesn't deserve any of this. The way that the Dursleys hold his past from him, I feel, is completely unjustified. This poor kid has so many questions. He clearly somehow remembers about his near-death experience. Because we see the green he was talking about, which I'm guessing was Voldemort trying to kill him. He doesn't know his parents. He doesn't even know what his parents look like, which kind of, wow. Whew. It was kind of a heavy chapter. But the zoo section was done really well. Shout out to Ice Cream Lady again. You're the real MVP. But yeah, just a little more world building, a little more character, you know, setting up and all that. I'm excited to read on, see where this goes.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, if you are listening to this on our public platforms, to the shortened version, then the full-length version will be on our Patreon. So take a look at the website to see our tiers. You can subscribe for as low as $1 a month. And we really try to make that worth your while. So please leave us comments about ways that we can make this better. Let us know what you think. All right, we'll see you next time.
See y'all later. Bye.